The British elections, the status of the trade war, and Home Depot says the opioid crisis is hurting its profits. Good morning, I'm David Brancaccio in New York. British Conservatives, led by Prime Minister Boris Johnson, have won a decisive victory in the UK general election. The British currency soared up to $1.34 and €1.20 now. The left-wing leader of the opposition Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, has announced he's quitting, and the leader of the pro-European Union Liberal Democrats has already resigned. Johnson says the result now clears the way for Britain to leave the European Union without delay. Here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London.
Confounding the opinion polls, Boris Johnson has won a stunning victory and a huge endorsement of his often repeated campaign pledge to get Brexit done, as he told jubilant party workers this morning.
With this mandate and this majority, we will at last be able to do what?
Get Brexit done!
We've been paying attention.
With his thumping parliamentary majority, he can now push through his exit deal for leaving the European Union. After 3.5 years of dither and delay since the EU referendum, he said, the argument over leaving or remaining has been put to rest.
Getting Brexit done is now the irrefutable, irresistible, unarguable decision of the British people.
But the Brexit argument is far from over. Next year, Johnson faces at least 11 months of hard bargaining with the EU over a new trading relationship. Charlie Faulkner, a senior opposition politician, says that'll hinge on a critical question.
Are we going to pivot towards the USA and leave a close alliance with Europe? Or are we staying with Europe, not in the European Union, but treating the USA maybe at more at arm's length than Boris would want?
In his congratulatory tweet this morning, President Trump offered Johnson a massive and lucrative trade deal. There are clouds on Johnson's horizon. The separatist SNP party in Scotland also did very well in the election and will push for another referendum on Scottish independence. But Johnson has smashed the opposition Labour Party and, to the relief of financial markets, its socialist plans. And in his victory speech early this morning, he couldn't resist repeating his winning mantra in characteristic style.
Let's get Brexit done. But first, my friends, let's get breakfast done too. Thank you all. Thank you all.
In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Has the U.S. and China struck a mini trade deal, have they? Two published reports say the two sides have agreed in principle for the U.S. to remove or delay planned tariffs on Chinese exports and for China to buy more American agricultural products. We're watching to see if this becomes official, given that President Trump had indicated this was nearly ready to go on October the 11th. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack in Shanghai has more on the wider implications.
Over the past 18 months, President Trump has announced, delayed, then re-announced tariffs on Chinese goods. Even industries not affected by tariffs are taking a hit. Some Chinese manufacturers tell us their clients worry that Chinese products not subject to tariffs today could be while floating at sea towards the U.S. tomorrow. So factories are receiving less orders or orders in smaller quantities. Factory bosses ask themselves tough questions. Should they cut staff numbers? What if business bounces back and they can't hire people because there is a labor shortage? Big manufacturers already struggling with higher production costs have moved to cheaper countries in Southeast Asia. And once these new supply chains are formed, it's much harder to shift back. As for U.S. businesses who sell to the Chinese market, they start to scrutinize every contract not renewed, visa not approved, spot check by the government. They wonder, are they the victims of a Chinese government retaliation? And that might make them think twice before investing more in China. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London, with those general election results, that index up 1.9%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up between 4 and 5-tenths percent. Retail sales numbers for November are due later this morning. The past few months have shown that consumer spending is helping to keep the U.S. economy afloat, but more spending can mean more debt. A new report suggests credit card delinquencies are rising to near a 10-year high. Our coverage will be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed later on if you miss it on the air. You spoke, we listened. Marketplace socks are back, and right now we have a real deal for you. You can get not one, but two pairs of socks. That's one for each of our new Marketplace designs when you donate $60 or more today. Or you can sign up to give $5 a month, same deal. Support independent news you trust at marketplace.org and get these snazzy new Marketplace socks as a thank you for your contribution. And thank you for believing in what we do. We really do appreciate it. Don't miss this. During a Home Depot conference call for investors to talk about quarterly results this week, the company blamed in part the opioid crisis. The company says there's been more stealing of merchandise. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Home Depot's hypothesis is that the addictive nature of opioids leads criminals to steal more and either sell it on the black market or return it for cash. Bob Maraca is vice president of loss prevention for the National Retail Federation.
We are seeing an increase in things like organized retail crime, where these gangs steal in bulk from retailers.
He says two-thirds of retailers have seen an increase in these organized thefts. But Joe Schmidt at the consulting firm Alex Partners says it's tough to connect retail losses directly to the opioid crisis. He says most retailers track what they call shrink. That's loss due to theft or internal misappropriations or vendor fraud in the aggregate. So it's hard to zero in on the causes. But that could be changing.
Leading the fight on this is really getting that data to a level of detail where they can be more action-oriented and understand those root causes as to what's driving it.
Retailers try to keep shrink to under 2% annually. Right now, in the aggregate, that number's about 1.5%. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And stock in Hertz Rent-A-Car is hurting, down nearly 5% yesterday. Avis Budget fell 4% because the car service Lyft announced it's going to do a car rental business right through its app, first in L.A. and the San Francisco Bay Area. Refueling will be at market prices. If you've ever rented a car, you know why that stands out. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.